Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, increasing and reaching your child's full potential. Each week, our objective is to help you as a parent, guardian, or loved one direct the path of a young person by empowering you with knowledge and understanding. Each week, you will be enlightened and moved into a position of positive parental involvement and influence. I am Phyllis Austin, and I am the founder of the National Parent Education Center, where we educate parents on education, help parents create quality education for their child, and advocate with parents on educational issues.
Hello, and welcome to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. It is a wonderful day today. We have an icon here. We have Miss Trina Parks, consummate triple threat entertainer, and the first Black James Bond girl. So I want to say hi, and I want to honor and thank you and welcome you for your presence here today.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for asking me. Glad I got here.
You know, audience, we're going to have a lot of fun today. And Classroom DNA is about teaching lessons. And today's lesson is about greatness. When you get to meet someone who has opened the doors for a lot of other people, that is a very great event. You know, Trina Parks is the first Black James Bond girl. And when I first met her, I thought, okay, she's a great entertainer. And then I went home and something knocked me upside my head. And I said, I remember her. More importantly, I remember how she made me feel when I saw Dinosaur Forever and saw her in it. I was like, finally, someone who represents me. It was an instant connection that this person in this movie in front of me looks like me, short hair and all. So I said to myself, wow, I want to interview her. I want to bring greatness to Classroom DNA. So she's here with us today, and we're going to talk to her about her great career.
Oh, well, I think it's time for me to go home now. You said everything. You talking about me?
Yes, I know.
I know. I appreciate it so much. And I said I'm glad I got here because I did just move from Palm Springs, California to Atlanta. And it has taken me a little while to get around, but I'm so pleased that you asked me to be on your show and proud to be here. I had no idea that you felt that way about me. and actually, when I was doing the movie, we filmed in 1971. I was three. I just looked older for my age. I had no idea that was the case, and that's what I was doing because I was dancing. You know, I was from the Broadway stage and the theater, dance theater, and from New York. And I'll get more into that, but, you know, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And, of course, years, people saying, oh, you were the first. I was. After I did Diamonds, I just went on and did other things, and I had no idea that I was, you know, had that title. But I was very, very proud, very proud. And thank you so much.
Okay, let's go ahead and get to some questions. And just to let the audience know, our call-in number is 347-855-8603. And again, that's 347-855-8603. Okay, I want to ask you, and especially for the parents listening, where did you receive your dance and theater training?
Well, as I did mention before, I'm from New York, born in Brooklyn, Bed-Stuy. There's some people out there that know what I'm saying, Bedfordstuy. And when I was about 6 or 7, my father used to take me to the Brooklyn Academy of Music, which is now called BAM, and I started taking ballet lessons and piano lessons. I was about 10 or 11 when I started going to the 135th Street Community Center, which then I took African and modern dance classes from a teacher, Shaniqua Baker Scott, who's not here now, but she was my first real modern dance, African dance teacher. I started also around that time from her training. I started to dance in the master African drummer dancer Olotunji Babatunde's company during the summer because I was still in junior high school, and we performed on outdoor stages around the New York area. And then I took the audition for the High School of Performing Arts, FAME, as some young people would know it, first for the ballet department because I was doing toe work. And not to my knowledge at that time, 61, they weren't accepting black female dancers. So I was requested to retake the audition for the modern department, in which I did, and I was accepted. I was taught the Martha Graham technique, you know, Western technique. And when I was a junior in PA, which is Performing Arts PA, I started going to the Katharine Dunham School on 42nd Street and 9th. And I was taught by Miss Dunham and her original dancers the Dunham technique. Wonderful, wonderful technique, which I actually teach and have been teaching since 1970 myself. In high school, my teacher, my drama teacher, was Vinette Carroll. Vinette Carroll was the director for Her Arms Are Too Short to Box with God. But Vinette had asked me to understudy actress, dancer Vinette, Gloria Van Scott in the and dance the woman role in the play Prodigal Son that she directed. I also at that time was introduced to Tally Beatty, who was the first choreographer to work with Alvin Ailey's company. And Alvin choreographed Revelations. And Tally choreographed the classic Come and Get the Beauty, Phoebe Snow. And I'll tell you more about that later. But back to The Prodigal Son, we did perform, which I could only perform like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday shows. It was in the Village of New York in Manhattan. And that was actually my first professional theatrical performance. Yeah, at that time.
And that's why we do the show, because greatness is not spontaneous. Greatness requires work and effort. Being a science teacher, work and energy can be interchangeable, but you have to put the effort and energy into it, and you have to work. We talked about starting at age six years of age through your high school career. You know, you're talking about 10 years right there. You're looking at 10 years before you really start to move into your own just with training. And for the parents out there, when you make that commitment to maximize your child's greatness, it takes dedication. Okay, we'll be right back with Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, and we are interviewing Trina Parks, consummate triple threat entertainer. Hello, this is Phyllis Austin, founder of the National Parent Education Center. When I first started this organization, I wanted to make sure that parents understood what a quality education is and what it looks like. Do you know that most state constitutions only provide for an adequate education? Here at the National Parent Education Center, we help parents create and receive a quality education for their child. Please support our efforts by making a $5 donation. You may donate more, but please donate. Visit tnpec.org and donate now. Thank you. Okay, welcome back to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. And you wanted to make a statement about science?
I sure did. When you mentioned that, I remember that when I was in junior high school, of course, when I took the audition for a high school of performing arts, I also took audition for the music and art for vocal, because I was also training in singing in a classical voice. And I wanted to do the solo that I had done in Flammatus for the audition, but my teacher said, no, they want something more pop and all. Anyway, I didn't do that. I did this pop song, which I can't remember. But I also applied for Bronx High School of Science. I was very good in science. Not that great in math, but very good in science. I don't know how I got through that, but anyway. I got into the Bronx High School of Science, and then I had to make a decision. Well, everyone knows what happened. I took it to High School of Performing Arts.
I'm glad you told me that story, because something came to me after the first segment. You actually made a statement about facing discrimination. You know, we think about, of course, race discrimination, but even nowadays we have so many types of discrimination. You're not of a certain stature, you're not of a certain body size, whatever. Did that ever come across to stop you? Or if so, how do you get past that? Was that something you expected? Or do you have a plan for it to move forward and not let it bother you?
Absolutely. Of course, back, you know, late 50s, 60s, when I was doing, a lot of auditions and things, at that time we used to take auditions actually at the theater. You know, you auditioned at the theaters. And we would say, a lot of my, you know, dancer friends, we would all go to auditions together, other black male and female. And we would see the other dancers and Caucasian dancers getting the parts. And I think we were pretty good, too. You know, I mean, you know, most of them. But they would get the roles, and that would, you would see that, why, you know. I have to say, you know, that speaking of my going into performing arts and taking the ballet, I had no idea that there was no black females in the dance department there, in the ballet department, until maybe 70, maybe.
Wow.
And there was... A black male 10, 11 years before me who was director of the Harlem Dance Company. Oh, my gosh, my. And I know him well. This is awful. His name is going out my head. See, that's why I got to write names down. But he was only male. Male. No females at all. So I said, I'm going to strive in this modern. I'm going to get this modern, department. I'm going to be in this modern department. And the other thing I have to add, when I went into the that summer, I was skating and in Brooklyn at the skating rink. I love to skate. I skate and skate and roller skate. I was really good at that. I'd love to do that. Someone came the wrong way and knocked me down, and I broke my ankle. Now, this is the summer before I go into my first year in performing arts high school in the dance department. I go into the dance department with a what? Cast on my leg.
Wow. So you became a lot. That's great. So let's move on and talk about the prominent teachers, choreographers, and directors that you worked with.
I have to start with my ballet teacher at BAM. I really don't remember her name now, but I have to give her the credit. And of course, my teacher, Sonequa, at the center. My Graham teachers, Martha Graham teachers at PA, were David Wood and Norman Walker, who were both in Martha Graham's company in the 40s and 50s. I also went to the Graham Dance School in the Village, in New York Village. My teachers, Gertrude Scher and Mayo Donald. Then there was Catherine Dunham, of course. Tally Beattie at the Dunham School. Vinoy Akins, who is from Georgia. He just passed a few years ago. Carmen de Lavallade, who's married to Joffrey Holder. Joffrey Holder, I was in his company. Donna McHale, Rod Rogers. Anna Sokolow was the first, was the original choreographer for Hair. I was in her company. and Graham, you know, she had a Graham-style dance company. Ellie Palmer, who just passed. And these are all choreographers that maybe, you know, some dance aficionados may know the names. If they don't, they should look them up. Very well known. Vinette Carroll as a director, of course, as my drama teacher, where I worked in The Prodigal Son and then eventually did a European tour with her. It was The Prodigal Son. Mm-hmm.
Now, you told me a story. I got to remember, let me try to remember this, the timeline here. Was it at 16 you were on a plane to Paris or France? How did that come about?
After I graduated from PA, I that summer I joined the Dunham Company in Paris by myself. The first time I've ever taken a plane anywhere was from New York to Paris.
Oh my God!
And I was just as happy as I could be. The planes at that time was Holly, no one. I think I was able to lay across the 3 seats by myself and sleep on almost on the way there. Yeah. So I joined a company in Paris, and we were a special dance company in a play called Des Anges qui sont venus, which is two people have come, and I was the lead female dancer. Yeah.
Well, you know, what you're saying to me is just so amazing. At 16 or 17,
yeah.
I think I was just working a summer job and then high school.
Wow, again, the lesson for parents is not just about work, but village. A lot of people help you get to this point. You have to be open-minded, not only as a student, but as a parent. Then you have to have a lot of discernment to make sure you have the right people around your child, who is working in the best interest of your child. And I know you talked about your father. I know you spoke of him. I am going to ask you, was he a mentor in your life, and who were the other mentors? Tell us about those relationships.
Absolutely. My father, Mr. Charles Henry Frazier, he was the lead sax man in Cab Calloway's band.
Wow.
And before that, he was played with Jimmy Lunsford, Scott Joplin, and Chris Calloway. Yeah, my mother passed away at my birth. So Daddy was my mother and my father. And he used to always say to me, read everything. Just read. And always be a good example, because you never know who's watching. I mean, fast forward a little bit to when I, you know, started taking auditions or interviews. I have to tell people that even in, whether it's show business or whatever business you're in, when you go into an interview, always treat everybody respectfully. You never know who's sitting at that desk sweeping the floor. I have seen it in my lifetime. People have not, you know, been kind of not so nice to someone that's sweeping the floor. That person could be the producer, and just see how you are as a person to work with. You know, to perform or to be whatever you're doing is whatever you're going up for. But my father always used to express that to me, to be very respectable to everyone, sweeper from the sweeper to the president of the company, you know. And I had to say my Miss I call her Miss D. Everyone that's worked with her, Miss Catherine Dunham, calls her Miss D. Was my mentor and my guardian, because I was underage when I joined the company in Paris. So she was very much so. She taught me so much about history, about her history, and that's why now, since 1970, so I've been teaching her technique all over. And I've been here teaching it at Athens, you know, University, and at a couple of high schools here. And so I give the two of them my mentorship, you know, the best of the best for me, starting with my father.
That's great. My mother had a saying, and if my sister is listening, she can definitely call in. She said, use some decorum. Use decorum.
That's a good one.
You know, have some decorum.
Yeah.
And I told my son the other other day. I said, we have decorum. He said, what? Decorum? And I went back. I did a flashback. I said, ooh, just like my mother. Okay, those lessons are fast and furious.
Great. Our caller number is 347-855-8603. Again, that's 347-855-8603. I'm speaking with Ms. Trina Parks. She has granted us an interview. And we're going to talk more about James Bond because that's what I want to get to. You know, I have flashbacks. You are such an inspirational spirit. And we are talking about the build-up of your career. Whenever you are going for greatness, maximizing your potential, and really, really knowing your purpose and practicing it, it's work. It doesn't just come overnight. Amazingly, when you take one step forward, the other doors open. And I think people expect to see all the doors open at one time. Yeah, I read my Lessons in Truth book, and he says, if I show you the vision at one time, it would be so overwhelming. So let me ask you a question. If you would have been shown the vision at one time, what do you think you would have done?
Oh, my goodness. That would have been way too, as you said, overwhelming. Yeah, it is step by step, and you don't take it. As you say, one door closes, and there's several doors as far as being African-American, a male, and a male also, in the business. And back when I started, it was a little difficult, but I didn't care. I just kept going, and, you know, I had the talents, and I was going to use them the best as I could, you know, as much as I could, you know, through learning, through teaching. I just did everything. You know, when I moved from from New York to Los Angeles, and I went to do the movie Great White Hope with Donnie McHale, who choreographed Great White Hope with James Earl Jones. I had, before that, toured Europe with James Earl Jones, and so I knew them, but I just went right into to do the movie, of course. But while I was there, I just went out for different things, you know, and just to explore and to do. And if I saw that it wasn't right for me, it felt right, no, I wouldn't go. But you got to just explore when you're, you know, younger and getting out into your own career, whatever that is, you know, show business, so business. That's what you have to do. And don't let someone say, well, no, you're not right for this, and then go home and sulk. No, I don't have time for that. I'm a staunch New Yorker. I have to keep going. The snow, you know, rain and, you know, dogs and cats falling from the sky. I got to go. I got to go and do and learn and do what I have to do, you know.
I like that.
Okay. I want to ask you this this question before we continue on to our commercial break. What are your other accomplishments besides your dance career? Because now we're going into this triple threat. So what are your other accomplishments besides your dance career?
Well, okay. Here I go talking about myself again. Oh, my goodness. All right, this lady's making me talk about myself so much. I have never talked about myself so much. Anyway, I am an actress, and I'm a vocalist. I'm a choreographer. I'm an artistic director, dance lecturer, specifically on black dance and history, film and festival, special TV presenter. I also do those, you know, present different awards at different, you know, festivals and special TV shows. I started my own act in 1970, singing standards and performing my show in Vegas, toured Europe, the Far East as a solo artist, and starring in live shows. I opened for blues singer Muddy Waters in Chicago at Mr. Kelly's, if someone is still out there that knows that club. I was feature actress on some series as Night Gallery, McCoy, and starred in some movies, Darktown Strutters, The Mothers, Immortal Kiss, where I played the Queen of the Night vampire, a very eccentric vampire in 2013. I am the founder, artistic director, of my own dance company called Push It. I'm the creator, writer, and choreographer of my 2012 production, The Black and Brown Anthology, which is about all about African-American and Mexican-American history from the 1700s to the present. I also am a guest on special panels and autograph shows, if anyone is interested. So that's pretty much what other things that I have done and still am doing.
I love to hear that you are a founder.
Yes.
I really believe in shaping and creating your legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm kind of going to go forward a little bit. I don't want to say the word eulogy to be such a bad word.
Oh, no.
Okay. But I want to be able to tell people what to say.
You're funny.
I don't want them to have to think about it.
Oh,
you know, I want to be able to tell them.
Here's the script. All you have to do is just
repeat it. Don't say it. Well, what can I say about her? You don't have to think about it. Okay. Here's the script. Okay. Some of you will know.
Okay, so let's take another break. You're listening to Classroom DNA, Phyllis Austin, and we're learning a lesson in greatness today in our history as we celebrate Black history in the month of February. February is also the month of love. So I am honored to have as our guest today, Trina Parks, Miss Trina Parks. And as we learn more about her, you will realize why we say she's the consummate entertainer, the consummate triple threat entertainer, and what I believe she saved the James Bond franchise. And I can say that in the next segment, I think we're going to get to that. So let's take a commercial break and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Phyllis Austin. You know, parenting is very difficult. I don't know too many parents who can raise a child to 18 years of age without getting stuck, not knowing what to do. So I would like you to visit householddna.com and view the Household DNA Parenting Pyramid. Learn about the 7 principles of parenting, 4 of which you should be actively doing every day. Next, visit phyllisaustin.com and click on the Power Bookstore for great parent resources. You can pick up my latest book, God Has Not Forgotten You, written for teenagers and college students. While there, get your copy of my ever-popular book, From Parent to Power, Don't Parent in Fear. Visit PhyllisAustin.com today for your book and parent resources. Thank you.
Welcome back to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, and we are talking with Miss Trina Parks. And now we know you are a triple threat, actress, vocalist, dancer. When you started off as a dancer, did you ever think you were going to add actress and vocalist to the title?
Not really until I started doing some Broadway shows, you know, and I remember Kevin Carlisle, we were doing Her First Roman with Liv Huggins and Rich Kiley. And he was saying, he heard me sing. And he said, you should really, really, you know, get more into your singing. You know, I mean, I did, as before, you know, I did do classical voice, but then I got, you know, more into dancing and yeah, a little bit of singing. So I really started working on more, like I said, you know, doing my stand, then I did my standards in the first show that I did in Los Angeles. So
which one do you like the most?
Yeah.
Or is their favorite?
Let's see. All of them. I try to do all of them all the time. You know, everyone say, don't you rest? No, I can rest when I'm out of here and underneath, you know, where. So, no, I don't want to rest now. But except for, you know, as far as dancing, I perform solo performances, you know, and I choreograph and teach my master dance classes, Catherine Dunham's classes. And I've said before, directing my own and choreographing my own production. I also teach in private and, you know, public schools. And when I teach the workshop, I also speak about the history of what I'm teaching, about how I was taught. I was also taught what the history is about what you're dancing about or what you're acting or whatever. So when I did Diamonds, I had to know what this character was. I was a villain, but I had to know what the whole movie, what they were talking about before I didn't just go up there and start, you know, fighting, you know, Sean Connery. Excuse me, Sir Sean. you know, but, you know, when I bring my Special Dunham workshop around, like I said, I teach about her history, the original history of the dance. I get the black, you know, dance history in there, and then accumulating it with a choreographic piece or a production that I'm in. So you have to, the teachers and the training that I had, it was, I didn't take it for granted. You know, I had the best, I must say, I had the best choreographer teachers, you know, of all, they're all gone now, except for Donald McHale. He's still, you know, alive. He's in a wheelchair. But all of them had the same kind of technique that I, of course, have, you know, taught to young people. And the reason why I did my production is because I knew that not only young people, but older people needed to know more about our history. And I did it through, you know, films, you know, and more entertaining, so people would be more interested in, you know, what I was saying.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I like that part you mentioned, history.
Mm-hmm.
When I know the history of something,
it's
captivating.
It
connects you, and it gives you more of a passion than you ever expected. You can actually get into the person's shoes. It could be a role. I mean, you're playing a role, but in life, I know for me, being a founder of the National Fair Education Center, when I get into the history of education in the South, it makes me more passionate and just in general of our people, okay? And it helps me to understand all ethnic groups and everything, their civil rights, what they've gone through. Okay? You are the first. The original.
Not the imitator.
I thought you were going to say that. It was just funny.
Yeah.
You are the first African-American James Bond girl. Now, before I ask you how you went for audience, I want to tell you.
Okay. Here we go. I did some history here. Let's talk about the James Bond franchise. The first release date was May 8, 1963. It made $59 million worldwide. Then comes From Russia with Love. That's the second movie. It makes $78 million worldwide. Goldfinger, $124 million worldwide. Thunderball, $141 million worldwide. Now, here's where it gets iffy. Next is You Only Live Twice. It only makes $111 million. It loses $30 million. The next movie, On Her Majesty's Secret Service, it only makes $82 million worldwide. Again, you're down $30 million. Now, if I am the head of the James Bond Empire franchise, I have to come up with a plan because I realize I'm down $60 million. So I have to think, this is a well thought out process of how we're going to make money, because I know, at least I've heard, if you do three in a row, it's over. It's done. So I have to think about how I'm going to bring in the money not to lose any more money, because we're down $60 million. So I'm thinking, what audience do I need to cater to? So I'm thinking, what audience do I need to target? Lightbulb, the African American audience. So I know, in order to get that, I have to put some African Americans in here. Okay? And it can't just be any person. It has to be someone who's convincing, talented, to come in and bring in the audience. So it's a well thought out process. It's a plan. So I'm thinking I'm going to bring in the best. And Trina, Miss Parks, you were the best. You know, the money doesn't lie. The numbers don't lie. And when I look at the numbers, Diamonds Are Forever made $116 million. It captured the African-American viewing audience. It made $116 million more. It made more than the last two James Bond movies. It cost less to make than the last two James Bond movies. It cost less to make more. And that's why I say you save or contributed to the saving of the James Bond franchise. And I'm the only person that counts right here, right now. But more importantly, the numbers don't lie. And when you're trying to save an empire, you decide to bring somebody in a franchise, you don't go get anyone. You get the best. So again, Miss Trina Parks, I honor you because you were the best. You know, at that time, you were the best. So let's talk about it.
Oh, thank you for that history. I wish I would have been paid that much. But anyway, no, I really, that when my agent saw me when I was singing at the Ye Little Club in Beverly Hills, which is not there anymore. I did my standards. A lot of good singers used to be there, and I hadn't realized what a great club it was. And they came and they saw me, and they picked me up as a client. And I was actually the second African American in that year. They called me as they did then. They don't call now. They email or that was not even email. Yeah, what that wasn't even a word then. But they called me and asked me if I'd like to go up for this role in the James Bond film, because what they wanted was someone who danced and also knew karate. Well, Dunham taught me karate. That was one of the classes. So I did know both. And I said, fine. I had no idea who James Bond was. I'm from the theater, New York theater. I'm not into. I said, sure, I'll go. Oh, yeah, of course. I didn't know who we were talking about. So anyway, I went and, you know, I had the interview. They asked me to do what I asked me what I had done before. And then they asked me to do some things as far as movement. The second time I went. First time I was at the round table with Broccoli and the director and, you know, Mr. Hamilton and, you know, a lot of, you know, probably all the producers, whatever, other producers. And then I did my own little, you know, number, as far as a little dance thing, a little karate thing. And then they asked me to read some lines. And so that's how I got it. I want to make it clear, I did not sleep with James Bond. I have been asked that all over the world that I've done things. No, that's not how I got this role. I got it through my talent. through years of work. So anyway, I must say that Mr. Connery was wonderful to work with. And no, really, that brought in a lot of my African-American friends and people that, you know, realized, oh, this is a black lady in here. But I hadn't even realized that because, like I said, I didn't know anything about James Bond. And until I did tours for the movie, oh, I am. And I was so, you know, glad that they were, what they did is let me do also, when we went through the scene, what they saw that I could do. Because even the stunt person, he couldn't do what I did. So he said, show me what you can do, and I'll see what we can use in that. If I only knew then what I know now, I could get more money for that. But that whole scene with the kick and the jump and the turn and the cat going up, you know, thing, that was all mine. But that brought in a lot more of the other race to see the movie. And I guess maybe that was, you know, did bring up the audience the price of the revenue of it, of the movie, you know? I hadn't thought about that. Thank you so much.
research.
That was great. No, good. Oh, I want to say, when they called me, they said, well, you'll be getting at least $1,000 a week. I almost dropped the phone. I think I might have made on Broadway maybe $700 a month. You know, I think $200 or $300 a week, something like that. I don't know. You know, but that was a lot. That was a lot for me to do. You know, and that turned out to be a lot more than a couple of weeks too. So a day was $1,000 a day was pretty good.
And that is truly amazing, Miss Trina Parks. We are listening to Miss Trina Parks on Classroom DNA, and Miss Parks is telling us how she achieves greatness. An interview with Miss Trina Parks on Classroom DNA with Miss Phyllis Austin, and we'll be right back.
Author Lenore M. Johnson comes her new book, 101 Strategic Job Search Marketing Tips, the helpful checklist guide to all things considered workforce readiness and social media smart. This readiness guide attempts to assist the job seeker with a plan to better your career with the use of digital technology and social media. So purchase your copy of 101 Strategic Job Search Marketing Steps at Amazon.com, also available for Kindle and Audible downloads. These books are flying off the shelves, so make sure you get your copy at www.amazon.com.
Have you been injured in a car crash, slip and fall, or dog bite incident? Has a loved one been injured or killed as a result of birthing negligence, nursing home neglect, or a work accident? Legal-Chicago.com helps Chicagoans find the right lawyer for free. Our work is making clients whole after they've been wronged by the negligence of others. Our work is connecting Chicagoans with the right lawyer for their case. Legal-Chicago.com's mission is to put cash into clients' hands. Legal, the hyphen symbol, Chicago.com. Visit legal-chicago.com for a free consultation and membership to our network of attorneys.
Black America, why are we still afraid? Black America, Asking Ourselves the Tough Questions by Sonia Cassandra Perdue is now available on Amazon.com or at askingourselvesthetoughquestions.info. Can you answer the tough questions? Pick up your copy today on Amazon.com or at askingourselvesthetoughquestions.info. And let's get tough.
Chicago's Black Business Radio Network, all black, all news, all you.
Welcome back to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. We are speaking with Trina Parks. You know, I learned something about you. Not only were you the first African-American or black James Bond girl, you performed in many theaters, TV, and movies, but you were also the first African-American performer in several other productions. What are those, and tell us about those productions?
In the early 80s, I was in a production called Bittersweet. It was originally a black and white movie written by Noel Coward. It was performed at the Long Beach Civic Light Opera, Opera Theater, and I was the only principal African-American female only African-American in the show to ever be in any of Noel Coward's productions, because he always wrote in, you know, 1700s, 1800s. And I played, you know, principal character of a lady that was a French West Indian character, and I also danced. I also was in the first African American to open the famous New Otani Hotel in Tokyo, Japan, performing as a guest artist, and I didn't even know that until my manager there told me, you know, you're the first American to be in this, and the first African American, you know, ever.
Wow.
You know, in 2003, I was also the first African American and the last to be featured dancer singer in the Palm Springs Follies. They closed in 2014. I was there for about 6 years as that feature. I was the first African American female to found the founder, artistic director, and choreographer to form an all-male, all-ethnicity from ages 18 to plus over 65 dance company in Palm Springs, California, or anywhere in anywhere else in the U.S. that I know of.
Still today, you are setting trends and are on the forefront of that. That has to be truly not just amazing, but also comforting that you are progressively moving forward and helping open doors for the youth that are coming behind you. I say that with a lot of gratitude and appreciation because my daughter is in performing arts and you're opening doors for her that she probably doesn't know are being opened for her to just walk through. So now you moved to Atlanta 3 weeks ago. When I met you, it was only 2 weeks ago since moving here. In the last few years, you founded a dance company, created and wrote a production. What is the name of the dance company and the production they're featured in?
My dance company originally was called, I founded it in 2012, the Palm Springs Historical Dance Theater. Now, historical is the main word in this because it's all about our history. Everything that I have in this production, which is an hour and a half, is true to life history from the 1700s to the present. I actually open up with a sleigh block, and we close with hip-hop. And all through that, we have characters from, you know, different political actresses, dancers, you know, singers, all, and all my actors portray that character. My production is called The Black and Brown Anthology. And like I said, this is about all the history from 1700 to the present. And it's opens, or every scene opens with the films still about the character or the situation in history. And I have singers and I have dancers, and each person portrays that actual character in history. Actually, after I show a film, it's a collage of black and white film. It opens with the slave block. And then from there, it goes into a character called Madame Salty Juan. Several people, when I performed it, a company performed it at colleges, they didn't know who Madame Salty Juan is. Now, she's the first African-American female in actress who actually was in Intolerance and Birth of a Nation. And you see her, she's the only one that's not in blackface. And she plays different characters. But she's, and of course, silent. And I had to watch that movie for 2 weeks, both of those movies, something. But she also is really, and her first talkie, I think, was Pinky. She played the maid in Pinky, and then other, you know, films. But I really admired her because she had all these characters. D.W. Griffith liked her. He was a friend of hers, and so she became that character. So I have an actress. In fact, Gloria Hendry played that character when I first did the production. She's the second James Bond girl who was with Roger Moore as a love interest. And she played Madame Salty Juan. And, you know, she actually comes out as her because I show a little film or still of her, and then she comes out. But then it goes up in history, different characters. I have Martin Luther King. I have a whole dance that I do about Martin Luther King. Then I go into Malcolm X, and then it goes into Cesar Chavez. I have an actor, a Mexican-American actor, who plays him very well. I mean, he looks just like him. So, you know, you have all these characters that some young people don't even know about or what their history is. So I wrote a paragraph or so for each character that, you know, speaks. Because each scene is about between 3 and 6 minutes, along with the dancing and, you know, the characters and everything.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I first started Classroom DNA, I didn't think about how it was going to develop. And I'm going to tell the audience something that they don't know because Trina made history here today and it stretched me into doing something that I've never done before. Wow. She is awesome. And radio show hosts and people out there, invite her. You can just hear the wealth of knowledge and how she continues to contribute and just delivers and gives her passion delivering the historical aspects and understanding of what she's doing, of which is very important. You have a great deal. She has a great deal of understanding. when we talk about the household DNA parenting pyramid that guide us, you already have given the roadmap for the students coming behind you. But the difference is going to be in their individuality, flourishing on the path that others have set. And here we're talking about the path that you've done, that you've developed and created for others to follow. I want to ask you, are you planning on continuing your dance company? And I just can't wait until Black and Brown Anthology comes out. I hope it's coming soon. You know, I definitely want to see that, and I will be on the front row. So here in Atlanta, are you planning on continuing dance company and other performances? Tell us your vision in Atlanta. What do you see as your plans now that you are to open Atlanta up to the Trina Miss Parks experience? And I'm going to say that and put it out there in the universe.
First, I want to add that I had spoken about Arthur Mitchell. Arthur Mitchell is the director and choreographer of the Dance Theater of Harlem. And he was before me, about 10 years before me in Performing Arts High School. He was in the ballet department. And he was the only African-American male in the ballet department for years in PA. But, yeah, I mean, just I am a master dance teacher of the Katherine Dunham dance technique. And I am going to be teaching it here in Atlanta. Also, my plans are to have this production, the Black and Brown Anthology, produced. It is a very, very educational and entertaining production because it uses film with live actors, as I had mentioned, portraying several real people in our history. And my dancers perform choreographic pieces ranging from Chain Gang, Railroad Workers to Tuskegee Airmen to Martin Luther King marches, Latin Caribbean dance, the 70s dance to the present hip-hop dance, which I have to say I didn't choreograph that. My hip-hop dancer did. I thought that would be best for him to do that. Yeah. And I'm continuing to work on my own Black Diamonds of Forever act, to be presented at the end of the year, around the time the new James Bond film opens, which is, I believe, October, November. So those are the few things I'm doing, and I am hoping and praying on my knees every day that, you know, there would be a producer or, you know, someone that would be really interested in forwarding, you know, this production, you know, into schools, colleges, universities, because I think it was very accepted in California.
I personally think that Atlanta and the schools realize that they have to bring in and show more diverse careers. I've been here since 1994, and I believe that the dream will come true. I definitely believe that the landscape is right, and whatever you vision in, it will manifest. So I want to ask you this. Give me the timeline. You know, if I had to ask you, how many years has it been in the film, cultivating, growing, nurturing others, and nurturing yourself, feeding yourself through your career? How many years has it been?
I would say probably 1970, when I really started teaching at the Soul Train Dance Studio in Los Angeles. I used to teach those Soul Train dancers, boy. I mean, they would dance. Oh, they would dance on the Soul Train, you know, stage. But when they get in my class, it's like, what? This is a different technique than I'm used to. But yeah, I said, you have to train because you're not going to be able to do this when you're 40 and 50. You know, like I'm still dancing. That's because of the training I have. You know, I'm not dancing hard like I did before, but I'm still doing the Graham, Lou Graham pieces, you know, at solo. But I said, you know, you got to get this training. You got to get the, you know, so you can continue to dance. And so, yeah, I was teaching there. And I want to continue since the 70s, continue my workshop, the Dunham workshop. And I started really putting it together so it would be, I could take it all over. And I've been here teaching it, of course, and, you know, all different places in the United States. So I would say then, we're cultivating that of my teaching and doing my own show here in Europe, Far East. And as I'm doing my show, I always speak, especially if there's countries that understand English, you know, I speak about what the song is, or what my character, what did I play, and how I, you know, developed it, or what the history back of behind the song. I just don't sing songs, you know. It's I always got to get that little history in there somewhere, you know. So that I would say, yeah, since then, which is what, 10 years? 70, yeah. 70.
Okay, that's funny math.
Yeah, right.
It's really a pleasure here speaking with you and the wonderful lesson that you have given us today in greatness. Speaking with Trina Parks, the consummate triple grit entertainer, you have given us a great lesson in greatness. I want to tell the audience something about you and how you continue to open doors and really get people to stretch themselves. And I met you, and you finally agreed. Well, you didn't agree. You didn't have no hesitation. You're like, sure, that's a great thing. to do the show, and you're like, well, I can come over to the studio. And I'm like, I don't do it in the studio. I'm in my home. And you was like, well, I can come over there. And I found myself cleaning up, creating a studio. So I want to thank you. So now we have a studio. And I kept trying to come up with the name of a studio. What name should it be? And I came up with Diamond. So I want to honor you, and I will represent Diamond Studio well. But you're the first. It's the name after you. And now, to make sure that we keep that standard at its highest possible level. What do you want the audience to take away? What would be the words that you want to impart on the audience today?
First of all, my daughter, who I'm staying with now, allowed me to stay with her while I look for my own place here. So if anybody knows of anybody, she wants to be by herself now. But anyway, I love my daughter, Tanelle. And but in closing, too, I'd like to say to thank Miss Carol Lloyd. She's the producer of The Day of Dunham, where I received a Dunham Stella Award back in October when I came here to receive that. And she's also the publisher of Les Danses Noires magazine. She's getting some classes together here that I, you know, will be able to teach the Dunham technique here, specifically the Dunham technique. And my manager, Robert Walker, who's diligently working for me, looking also for a talent agent that I can work with here in Atlanta. I'm also writing. I've been writing my autobiography, Black Diamonds Are Forever, and Trina Parks, Black Diamonds Are Forever, From Harlem to Hollywood. And may I give Robert's or Carol's number? Or what?
Sure.
Okay, Robert Walker's number is 404-254-7539. 404-254-7539. That's my manager. And Carol Lloyd is 404-542-7733. 404-542-7733. And she is, like I said, the producer, a publisher of Les Danses Noires magazine. All about black dance history. Now and then. And by the way, I have a big article in it, too, so get the magazine. And I am so, so happy to be here and be with you. Phyllis, thank you so much for asking me.
You're welcome. You left off one thing. Where do we get the magazine?
Magazine, you can get it through Carol's number, or you can go to website, www.LADANS, like in Sam, ENOIRE.com. That's LADANCENOIRE.com. LADANCENOIRE.com.
And of course, we will put that link in our description of the show. So I believe you not only have Trina Parks' website, You also have Robert Walker's phone number. We've added other phone number and the website in the description, so you'll be able to access that information or the description for the show, in the description for the show. And I want to thank our listening audience. And thank you so much, Trina. Again, I honor and bless you with your presence. And we have a new name for the guest to come in. It's in my house. But I never had a guest before. We're going to say the Diamond Studio. The Diamond Studio. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. Okay, and until next time, thank you for joining us at Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. And as I like to leave, every Saturday with the Earth, Wind, and Fire track, You Are a Winner. First you will hear a quick announcement, and then you will hear You Are a Winner by Earth, Wind, and Fire. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. For Classroom DNA show topics and information, text tnpec.org to 23559. Again, for Classroom DNA show topics and information, text tnpec.org to 23559.